What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Stripped Raw. I'm Cam. I'm here with Burner today. Matt.
What's going on?
I always go for Burner.
That's fine. Everybody does. It's fine.
Yeah. And we are here with another Ten Commandments episode. So we are working our way down the list of people, I guess you could say. And everybody's been different so far on how they frame it out or the way they view things. And it's been, at least for me, being in the hot seat, the learning seat, very, very helpful and enlightening, I guess is a good word to use. But yeah, so today we have Burner and just kind of pump right into it.
So I think you saved the oldest guy to last, probably, but that's fine. I'll take
No,
it.
we still have Brandon. We still have Brandon.
Well, okay, second to oldest. So I didn't listen to any of them just because I wanted to be able to frame in my own mind or go, oh, Corey took this idea. I just you know, put pen to paper, so to speak, and kind of wrote these things down. So my first one is stand by your word. Like if you make a promise, keep it. Your word, your reputation, it's everything in today's society. I think people just word vomit things out and they just don't execute on what they're saying. And I think you lose credibility when you do those things. Or they often, you know, promise things they just can't deliver on. So I think you got to stand behind what you say, and you can't overpromise either.
Yeah, that to me shows a big character trait. That's played kind of a big, that topic has played a big part in my life just from personal experience, like in my family and stuff. One of the things that I can't stand, which is a small example of this, is my dad can almost never be on time anywhere. He says, I'll be there at 6:00. I'll be there at whatever time. And it's almost never that time. And that's always been a very small indicator of that trait to me is, ever since I kind of entered or pretty like started driving, going places on my own. It's like, if I say I'm going to be somewhere at a certain time, I'm going to be there. And if I can't, for whatever reason, it really gets to me because I feel the same way on that kind of example thing.
So if you want your dad to show up at 6:00, tell him to show up at 5:30, problem solved.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. No, that's what I do. I do the same thing to my friends too. We're leaving at 8:00. Everybody be here at 8:00. I'm planning to leave at 9:00 in my head the whole time. So.
All right, cool.
Yep. But yeah, so that branches off to a whole list of things. Like I said, I think that's like showing up on time to things is like a very entry practice to stuff like that. But I think, at least to me, that's important because that applies everywhere else. You know, as you said, if you say you're going to do something, do it. If you say you're not, then don't, and stick to your word.
Plus, being in the military, 5 minutes early means you're already late. So we have that ingrained in there too.
Yep.
So I think the second one, and it's probably one of the most valuable ones, I think, is to take responsibility. Like own your actions, your mistakes, and your successes. Blaming others don't get you anywhere, and being accountable earns respect, at least to me, when you own it. Because you're going to run into times in your life where you're going to fuck up. And it's real easy to point the finger at, you know, your dad ran late and then you had a flat tire, or whatever the case is, like, just own your shit.
Yeah. Like,
take responsibility for your actions, I think, is pretty huge. And I see it oftentimes, like, we interview people for jobs, and like, I always ask them, like, what was your biggest mistake? And you'd be surprised that I'd say about 75% of the people will tell you that they don't make mistakes. And that's not exactly accurate, but it's not also what I'm looking for, because I want to learn how they came back from that failure or that mistake.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it's very easy to get lost on this topic. So I've had this conversation with a couple of my friends as like a way to help them, because I think that there's a very easy way to jump on both sides of that coin, right? Where either you don't take ownership of anything that you've done wrong or anything like that, or I think is equally as bad, at least as for a personal strength standpoint, is to not criticize everything, but only look at your failures and learn from them. Now, don't get me wrong, that's a good thing, obviously, but like friends that I've had struggle with even seeing the good things that they've done, you know, if they're building up and they're working on themselves. And I always just call it count your wins. It's like, man, put your wins up on the board and realize they're there. It doesn't mean that you're not working on your failures or whatever, but you still have to have progress, you know?
And that's why I said, and your successes too. I did include that. So
yep. Yep. But
it is a different mindset. And I think as I've gotten older, I have to look at things a little bit differently. Let's say you like, hey, we're going to do this at 8 and it's 8:05 and you're not there yet. I could just say, well, Cam is late. Or could I change my thought perspective and go, hey, maybe I should have reached out earlier to make sure we're still good on time and take ownership and part of that instead of just taking an easy way out and just blaming somebody else.
Yep. And I can't remember if it was the podcast we did after or Fred's Ten Commandments, but he had a really interesting viewpoint on something similar to that. And it was something along the lines of nothing is bad or good until you make it so. So it's like, what's your perspective on what happened? And I mean, just in a way of changing your like mindset on things, like I'm going to be way happier if I frame things in a way that's like, oh man, everything bad's happening to me, but I made it bad in my head. I didn't look at it this other perspective, this other way, or, you know?
Right. Could you have done X, Y, and Z differently?
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that I've learned over time. It's always the easy buttons always no, or could I frame something differently for a better understanding or a better desired outcome?
Yeah. But yeah, accountability is, I would say, one of the bigger and more common ones that I've heard in this. And that's kind of one of the things that, like, I don't know, in the typical be a man box that everybody makes for men is like, if you mess up, just own it. Like, hey, I messed up. Now I'm going to fix it. I realize that. Because at the end of the day, it's way more powerful than being somebody that never messes up.
Right. So I think the third one I'm going to say is, and this, you know, all encompassing, but I struggle with some of these things too. And my third is stay disciplined. And that's your success, your health, personal growth all comes from daily effort. Whether it's career, finance, relationships, discipline creates the results you want. You know that from riding a bike. If you didn't ride a bike every single day or practice or lift weights or all the other things that went into working on make sure the bike was correct, like you would fail at that.
Yeah.
Yep. Like you can't go do something one time and then consider yourself an expert in it.
Yeah.
So it's just discipline kind of gives you that. Let's say Jocko used to say discipline equals freedom. And I think we all want to do these things, but the only way we're going to do it is through consistent habits of doing it.
Yeah.
And it pays dividends.
Do you think that can be fostered from like smaller things? So like in practice pretty much?
It could be in anything you want it to be. Like,
yeah,
as simple as taking your vitamins in the morning, right? If you don't do it every day, you've already failed at doing it. I used to have a book. It was by Andy Frisella, where you would write 5 things down the day before you wanted to get done. And it could be anything. It could be go to the gym, read a book, take your vitamins, eat healthy, And you look at it at the end of the day, and did you do those things? If you didn't do those things, then you failed that day. Mm. And you kept doing it, and to where it became a habit of calculating those five things every single day.
Yeah.
And it can change. Yep. It doesn't, it's not, you know, like a blueprint. It wasn't pre-printed. You filled that out.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get that discipline and habit going.
Are you familiar with the, I believe it was a retired general at some political speech or something or the other. I saw it online, but it was
about
the,
making your bed every day.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That. And I found that, maybe a couple years after I got in the military, and I wasn't not disciplined. But there was definitely spaces of my life that were lacking. And I genuinely, I saw that, and there's some things that just hit me. Like I saw it, I was like, that's kind of stupid. Like, just make your bed every day. And then I realized that that's something that I didn't do. I just, every night I'd come back to a pile of covers in the middle of my bed.
Right. And, but you start your day off with a small win, right? And I think it was Admiral McRaven, I think is his name, is the one that said that.
Yep. And just out of practice, and that like, they're like, in a way, this might be very exaggerative, but it like changed my life, because first off, you start with that win every day. Plus, you get another win at night when you show up to a really nicely made bed. But it's, you start that win and you start creating that discipline. With the gym, like I have off days at the gym. Everybody has off days at the gym. You can't go 7 days a week for years. But you know, there's no off days on something as simple as making my bed. And it really does. Now I'm at the point, I just had this conversation with my buddy a couple of days ago, where, doing things like that has made me, I don't know if it's more productive, but I like feel the need for challenge. So even when, you know, all the schools and stuff I've been going through, and I have a lot of that wiped off my plate now, which I'm very thankful for. I feel like I have all the time in the world now. But I start, instead of just having that time, I've started filling it with other things. And I feel like it's a result of that, just because, you know, I feel like commitment and consistency and all these other things just drive me to, I can do so much more. So why not do it?
Yeah. And you're living that example, exactly what I was talking about. And like you said, can it be something small? Yeah, make your bed. Do something daily.
Yeah. And you think it's dumb, but man, I'm telling you, it changed the way I viewed my own life and my successes and what I was capable of.
And
even if it was just making a bed, you know, I realize how dumb this sounds, but.
Or reading 10 pages a day, or find something that is the Daily Stoic. That's a day, very small, like. You can knock it out. Like,
yeah.
Simple things. Next one's protect and provide. Not just in a financial sense, but emotionally and physically. Be a source of stability and strength for the people you love. It's hard. It's a hard one for me. The financial piece, the stability, those are a little bit easier, I think. Given where I'm at in my life, but still dealing with generational things and trying to figure those pieces out in my life is still kind of a struggle, but I think it's important to recognize that as one of the Ten Commandments, if you will.
Yeah. And that's more or less been, I think it falls in that, to me, falls in that same frame of the common be a man, but everybody overlooks the emotional side. And that's been a common one that we've talked about in the Ten Commandments series, because I think it's one of the most important is, and it hurts that emotional side is overlooked, because it is automatic for everybody to, including men themselves, to expect men to provide financially and protect. And, you know, if you're the man in the house and somebody breaks in, you're going to be the first person to meet him there. You know, those are almost givens, as in what everybody expects. But something that we talked about over and over again is that you also have to be as strong as you are meeting that guy in the dark and at your front door. You have to be that strong when your kids tore up because of somebody at school or your wife had a bad day. You still got to be that rock.
Yes. And sometimes you don't get that outlet either.
Yeah.
Because you're the one that's always got to be there. You're the one that shows up. You're the one that they reach out to. You know, sometimes. Yeah. And that's where I think this group is, where everybody kind of knows when somebody's off and they can say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Because if you're always the strong person, you never really let those other emotions out.
Yeah. What are your experiences in that kind of through the past? You know, I think you have a unique experience because your kids are a little older. Mm-hmm. So you've had to be there. Stability, you know, however many years ago when they were toddlers, and however you acted and what you knew back then versus their experiences are different as almost adults or adults. And, you know, you've obviously grown. So what's your experience in that?
So I think, you know, back then when everything happened, I didn't have a choice but to be that. There was no other option. Was it easy? Did I make mistakes? I'd be lying if I told you I did it. And I still do to this day. And I try to be better and try to learn from some of those mistakes. Because I think you can read 1,000 books at the library on parenting or whatever subject, but you're never going to be an expert at it. And the only way that you get better is by recognizing your mistakes. And, you know, if you have to apologize because you blew up because they didn't clean their room or whatever the case is, like, you learn from it. Mm-hmm. But you also have to show humility too. And empathy, because your kids are going to, I mean, the stage is set. Everything is rapidly changing, and it kind of goes into my next commandment of keep learning and adapting, because you're always going to have to change. The way that Grayson is being raised will be different when the other ones come, because mm-hmm. the world has changed. Doesn't seem like it, because it's not you know, 5-6 years of time, but it has rapidly changed.
Yeah. Well, additionally, so has Dave through Grayson and himself and all that. So it'll be, you know, there's that growth.
Yeah, there's definitely growth, but he'll have to continue down that path of growth. You're never going to go, well, I'm a great father. And you know what I mean? It just,
yeah.
Other people may say that, but doesn't mean he'll feel that.
Yeah.
Because it's going to make judgments that, looking back, he wishes he would have done differently. It's all of those emotions.
Yeah. Something interesting I heard a while ago was, and I never thought about this. Maybe it's just me, but I felt like it was a similar feeling amongst the internet space I was on, but that most parents, especially parents, you know, the first child, obviously, but they're all doing it for the first time. And as a kid, when you come to and you start being able to rationalize things and you think like your parents, everything is perfect. They know everything. That's who you go to for everything that you want to know. And at the end of the day, if I have a kid right now, like most people, a lot of people have kids already at my age. And it's like, man, I'm only 26 and I'm figuring this stuff out.
Yeah. And you will, and you're going to get advice from your parents and other people that have kids, and you'll take some of that. And there's going to be things like, I always look like the things that you had in your childhood, the way your parents raised you, you're going to take pieces of that. And then there's mm-hmm. going to be is the things that you're like, no, I'm not doing that. I didn't agree with it, right?
Yeah.
But there's no real manual for that. They were doing the best that they could do.
Yeah.
At least that's a hope. Not everybody has that. But for the most part, I think parents try to do the best that they can do with how what they know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it,
yep.
You know, you're gonna fuck it up, Ken. That's, and you're gonna have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
But you're gonna learn from it.
Yep. But I mean, that's one of those things, like you just said. You know, I'll put something personal out there, but is I feel I was extremely lucky with the way I was raised and my parents and how they treated me and the relationship we fostered and everything. But like you said, there's a lot of things I'll take and push to my kids, and there's a lot of things that I won't, like how my dad to this day is never wrong, like never admit fault. And it's that old school, like, I did it my way, and my way is the right way. It's always going to be. So even if it didn't work out, it's not my fault kind of thing.
Well, he can refer to commandment number 2 of taking some responsibility.
Exactly, yeah. But that's one of those things that I was thankfully able to learn from and not adopt. And something that I obviously intend on passing on to my kids, like stuff we talk about here, it's okay to fail and learning how to fail and not be crushed by it and learn from it. And
letting them fail. That is a huge...
That's going to be hard.
It is. It's hard to watch. But the only way they're going to learn is through that failure. The problem with parenting and kids today is the parents do everything possible for their kid not to fail, to get hurt. You know... And they don't grow from that.
Yeah.
So when they hit failure, they don't know how to respond to it. Because life is full of failure. Wait till they hit that adult age.
Yep.
Being adult, my daughter will text me randomly. I hate being an adult. This stuff sucks.
Yeah, I agree.
They raise the rent, or this broke in my house, or whatever the case is. But I think it's important to let them fail. It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to watch. But you can't put a Band-Aid on everything.
Yeah. But, you know, as I believe the point we're on, the topic we're on is flexibility. And it's all, at least I assume, obviously, because I don't have kids, is situational. So you have to be flexible in your parenting and be able to adapt to the situation.
You do. You know, and to this point of keep learning, adapting, you got to stay curious. You got to keep evolving and never assume you know it all, because you don't. That's a reality. And if you stand still long enough, time's going to pass you right by.
Yep.
You'll be asking your kid how to turn the TV on with the remote, or how to make the font bigger on your iPhone, or whatever it is.
Those felt personal to you.
Only setting up the podcast stuff.
Yeah.
That's why you're here.
Yeah, yeah. But
you are the youngest guy, well, besides Josh. But I'm not going to put Josh in that category, but that's why you're the technical guy. Because I'll go to YouTube and then get mad, or watch Dave get mad. It's just like, well, let's just call Cam.
Yeah, you know, just hit this button and everything's fine.
Yeah, it's usually how it works. So I'll flip this switch and everything works.
Yep. But yeah, I like that one. I think that's, you know, a lot of these can and should be applied for men on how to be better men. I think that is one of the universal ones that I wish everybody would practice. You know, I've seen time and time again where something doesn't go somebody's way exactly and it shatters them. I wouldn't even call it a failure, or like they lost something. It's just they had this idea and they have to do something differently because something else happened and they can't anymore. It's like, man, you just can't adapt. you can't make your way through problems, and it's right. hard to watch. Well,
look at being a professional. Like, look at where you work. There's older people that don't change, and they cannot continue going on because they don't like change. This is the way that I did it when I came up, and
yeah,
you're going to do it this way. Does it mean that you're wrong? And how you want to approach it? I say let it go. See what happens. And then if they fail, okay, we all learn something. But if they succeed in doing it and it's different, it's okay too. You just empower somebody to do something.
Yeah.
So yep.
And to figure it out. That's something that I appreciate about the military, or at least, like, you know, our version of it, if you will, but, right. Is you would think, and I think on paper, this is the way, is the job is to do our job. What's, you know, on paper, right. To have product go out the door, in and out the door. But I think an overarching theme of everything is just, especially in the shop and the people I'm surrounded by, is just to grow people. It's like my view of the military has changed just because the production is a byproduct of building people up, you know, whether that be in rank or position or whatever. But, you know, if it was about the product, you'd still be doing the job you were doing when you got in the military. But it's really, I won't call it rewarding, because from my point of view, it's, I have a lot of anticipation about a career because of how much growth and how much basically everybody around is willing to participate in that.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. And I think as you continue to grow in that position, even to where I'm at, like, I'm still learning, like, it's a nonstop process. And, you know, the way that I was taught to do certain things, I do things a little bit differently, and sometimes the outcome's even better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somebody let me, hey, let's run with your idea.
Yep.
But having that adaptability is key into it. So number six, control your emotions, but don't suppress them. Being a man doesn't mean bottling things up, right? It means understanding your emotions, managing them, and expressing them in a healthy way. I think it's important to recognize certain patterns or behaviors that were created either generationally or from growing up, just as generations before you. And that's one that I've had to learn. It's cost me promotions or not getting a chance to be promoted because of my emotions and how I expressed them.
Yeah.
You can't, and that's just always tell people to go fuck off, or
not with any success anyways.
No. I think we use the term inner senior airman to things that you battle with, you know, like the Flintstones used to have that little gazoo guy or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you can't always be emotional every time something pisses you off or something happens, doesn't go your way. I think you really have to rationalize what's going on and kind of not suppress your emotions, but you got to kind of be a little bit more stoic in that process. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. And that's one thing that we have classified a lot on the podcast as a whole, is, at least to me, and from what I've heard from, say, Dave and Cobra, is that's the telltale sign of a boy in a man's body, pretty much. Is if they don't have control over the emotions, if you get a drink spilled on you in the bar and now you're throwing punches, if, you know, little things, and if you, you know, I'd be upset if I got a drink spilled on me too, but I'm not going to escalate it to that. I have control, enough to think logically and rationally. And that's, to me, the telltale sign of somebody who isn't, you know, he's not thinking about things like this. He's not thinking about, you know, the best ways to be the best man he can or how to grow. He's just making his way through. And yeah, I'd say that's one of the hot ones is emotional, which nobody 5 years ago, 10 years ago would have thought that, you know, what makes a man, a man can control his emotions or like, you know, can understand them and express them or whatever. And, you know, that's just where we're at now. That's where the proof is.
Yes. Getting it out, because you're just building all that stress and cortisol and all this other shit going on inside of you. And, you know, look, suicide rates and other things where people feel like they can't express themselves or how they're feeling or what's going on inside of them. It's hard to get, you know, a therapist on the phone.
Yeah.
So I think we've come a long way, but there's a lot of work that still needs to be done in that.
Dave, a couple of years ago had a really good, I guess you would call it a metaphor for basically suppressing emotions. And it really, really stuck with me and I use it all the time. But it's especially in a relationship. If you and the person you're in a relationship with are constantly dancing around a room and that's your relationship, and then all of the stuff that you've dealt with or whatever is scattered across the room, or all this stuff, all the things that you've compartmentalized and dealt with and understood are placed neatly in the closet. And then the other stuff's just scattered around the floor. Now, if I'm dancing with you and I have all my stuff neatly packed in the closet and none of my stuff's out on the floor, and then we suddenly trip over this box that's in the middle of the room full of junk, and basically our relationship crashed because your box blew up on us and all of your stuff that you've pushed down for years is now my problem kind of deal. And it's such a difficult thing to understand overnight. I feel like I've tried to, you know, it's something I've had to talk about in my relationship where it's like, we need to talk this stuff through and get it sorted out so that it doesn't become our problem. Your problem doesn't become our problem down the road. And, yeah, it's hard.
It is. You know, and I heard this today, that we are the only species on this earth that knows that they're going to die. And it really kind of struck me this afternoon. So are all these things worth being bottled up all the time to where we can't, or we feel like we can't express ourselves? For what?
Yep. Fear of looking a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, God willing, we'll all be getting out of bed tomorrow, but there's no timetable for that. Just hit me just thinking about all that kind of stuff. Where, you know, people just eat it for years. You got to think, if you look generationally back, they definitely couldn't do any of that.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And I think, so that's kind of happened for me, but people who have kind of near-death experiences or big scares in life and how they change so drastically and immediately after, just because of perspective. And then you realize how easy it is to let go of that guy who didn't hold the door for you yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I still woke up. I'm good. I can let go of that. But it's, again, to me, it's all perspective, right?
Yes, 100%. So, number 7, surround yourself with good people, because you tend to become like the people you spend time with. You choose your friends and mentors who challenge you inspire you, but also hold your ass accountable. Because I think that's important too. But also realize there'll be people that will come and go, but sometimes they need those things from you to level up themselves. So if you just hold yourself on a pedestal and chase all these mentors of these people at a higher stature because that's who you want to be like, what about the people that want to be like you? Right? We don't talk about those people. And mm-hmm. I think that's important as well to recognize some of that. Maybe they're not doing the things that they should, and you're looking like, I want to do this, I want to be like this person, or you know, they push me. You're kind of that conduit to do the same thing for other people.
And how do you recognize when you're at that level? That's something that I think about a lot. Like an example is I'm learning a language right now, and I am in all these different Discord stuff to like communicate with people. And though I'm conversationally fluent and I know the foundation, the basic blocks, I don't correct anybody because I feel like I'm not in a space to correct anybody. I don't know enough. That's similar to how I've felt in life all the time. Yeah.
So you get corrected by other people that are more fluent than you.
Yeah. Yep.
But you don't feel like the person that's learning should get the same lesson?
I agree.
Or you just feel weird about
I don't feel qualified. Yeah. No, I just don't feel qualified. I'm scared that what I'm going to say isn't correct or, you know, I don't feel like I'm at a spot that I feel like I don't know enough to be handing down advice. I feel like I'm equal with the people who are making mistakes, even though I know what they want to say or whatever. But same thing goes professionally is like, you know, I've done pretty well professionally for myself and I'm on a really good track. I positioned myself really nicely, but I still maybe am just starting to feel like I'm at a point to, you know, help my friends or give advice or say like, man, this is the way it is. Just because I have a hard time accepting that I'm at that level, if that makes sense.
But that's your own perception of your own thought processes.
Yeah, whereas it's my view in the mirror.
Right, but this person may look at you like, man, he's got this stuff going on. He's doing all these things. Like, you could probably help this person if they wanted help to kind of bring them along too. But a lot of times we don't look behind us, we look forward in front of us. And that's kind of what I'm getting. Because you have your mentors, you have your friends that hold you accountable, but this person may not have any of that. And they're looking at you to be that person.
Yep. Yeah, it's something, I don't know that if I've realized it before now, but I definitely, I don't know, say hypothetically, at a scale of 1 to 10 in this one subject, I'm sitting at an 8. I feel like a 4 still. So it's like, you know, there's benefits to it. I'll always be trying to improve really hard because I want to get to that perfect point. Is with the language. I don't know that I'll feel comfortable correcting anybody until I'm 100% fluent. That's just a mindset thing, I guess. And like I said, there's benefits, but. No, I completely agree. And you're right. I've never thought about it. I've had wonderful mentors in a couple of different respects. You know, this one, Dave, has definitely been one of them. One of my good friends who got me into the spot I'm in now. You know, he was a big mentor for me. And then others along the way. But other than throwing out some helpful hints here and there, I wouldn't classify myself as a mentor to anybody. But on the other hand of that, you know, you never really have the conversation. I don't know that Dave knows he's been a mentor to me or, you know, my friend who got me in.
Right.
It's just more through action. And I ask them questions and I see how they work and live. And I don't want to call it mimic, but definitely put it in the bank.
Yeah, mimic's probably not the right word, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because we're not trying to be that person. We're trying to look at whatever it is that they may have or what they have going on and try. Emulate's not even a right word because it's basically saying mimic, just different.
Yeah.
I
got the idea. Yeah. You're not trying to be exactly who they are, but you definitely take characteristics that you can apply to your life. Yeah. Now, I think mentorship is very important. That's actually one of my, what I'm doing moving forward, and obviously I'll have to board and stuff. That's one of my big hit points is mentorship. Cause I feel like it's not, at least where we are, this is turned into a work talk now, at least where we are, isn't promoted, or what's the word I'm looking for? It's not basically a goal that's put forth in front of us. Like, hey, make sure you look for somebody, look for a mentor, or make sure you're mentoring people below you. I feel like it's not as important. Like it's not as announced as it should be.
We just don't say the words, I think.
Yeah.
That's part of it. Like mentee, mentor, where I'm at right now, that's, a lot of the things that we work with, there's a lot of that conversation that happens.
Yeah.
For a broader spectrum. But yeah, I think there'll be people that are going to come up that are going to look to you for certain things. Just realize maybe they don't fit in this group here, but you can bring them along to do that. That's kind of what I'm getting at. So number 8, treat everyone with respect. Power and strength doesn't come from putting others down, but from lifting them up. Whether it's a stranger or someone close, respect goes a long way. Regardless of your stature, where you're at in life, your title, none of that shit matters except how you treat someone, because that's what they'll remember. That's what they'll take away. I call everyone sir. I get yelled at work for it, but I'll call an airman, yes sir, no ma'am, as I will the highest ranking person. It's just to me, it's a respect thing.
Yeah.
And you don't want to use your power or influence to make people feel like shit. I think you just got to treat everybody like how you would like to be treated. And I think if we did that, I think the world would probably be a little bit better place. Social media is.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, the person who's practicing that, their life will improve drastically as well. I mean, if you meet people with kindness, it usually comes back at you in an identical fashion.
Yeah. And even if you don't receive it, doesn't mean you got to stop giving.
Yeah. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that it shows, an emotional strength or like, kind of the topic we were talking about before. It shows that you're able to control emotions. You know, you might feel upset or mad that this person did this, but if you can, think about it logically, put that in the bank and act with respect, it'll definitely improve your life and the others around you.
Yeah. Number 9, take care of your body and mind. Health is wealth. Exercise, eat well, rest properly. Mental and emotional well-being are just as important as physical strength. You could be in a wheelchair because you didn't take care of yourself, but you have a $100,000 Corvette in your driveway. Nobody gives a shit about that if you don't take the time to spend on yourself. And, it's goes back to discipline. It's not, for whatever reason, it's always amazed me that it's more expensive to eat better than if you go to McDonald's or anywhere and eat like shit.
Yeah. Bottle of water costs more than an Arizona sweet tea.
Right. Make that make sense to me.
Yep.
But I think it's important to take care of your mind too, in what you absorb, what you read, what you take in. I think you need to respect that too. There's so much chaos going on in the world. And I see, you know, politically all the stuff that's going on, and people have opinions because they go in these deep dives and reading things. And I'm like, you are not healthy.
Yeah.
Because this is not healthy. How is this affecting you? And chances are they're going to, it's not. So stop. I don't even watch the movies.
Yep.
Because I'm trying to protect my mind and emotional well-being and not get out of control and worry about things that have no control over me unless I let it.
That's something that's been very, very recent to me. I'd say within the last year, maybe two, is realizing that I don't have power over things I don't have power over. And so whether I feel a certain way about it or not, it's going to happen. It's going to happen that way. So why, the outcome's going to be the same. Why convince myself to feel a type of way about it?
Right.
I mean, you know, if the big picture, obvious one, that's how I feel about politics for the most part, is at the end of the day, taxes coming out of my paycheck, you know, I still got to go to work tomorrow. My life's going to be the same tomorrow, hopefully. So, and there's nothing I can do about it regardless. So why?
Somebody's got to pay SMECA, the electric bill.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, no, I completely agree with that. But the good thing is whoever's listening, you know, to this stuff, you're already on that track. If you're here and you're listening to this stuff, you're bettering yourself. And, you know, that's a hard thing to start. It's a hard thing to do. So,
yeah,
you're definitely taking care of your mind. And I definitely think it, in my opinion, it probably goes mind body, because there's plenty of people, you know, in the gym for 2-3 months and dealing with stuff in their mind or depression or whatnot. And, you know, it only lasts so long before they physically can't do it anymore.
Right.
You got to take care of what's up here before you can do much else.
Yeah. And you'll learn as you get older, you're not going to be trying to hang with the big boys. And I don't try to bench 225, nor do I care to.
But you're at a point now too, where your sons are trying to big dog you in the gym, huh?
Not Kyle so much. I think I was deadlifting 2 weeks ago and I had him in there and he's like, oh shit. So I'll pat myself on the back. It's just a matter of time before all that goes away. But
Yeah.
And I think the last one's kind of define your own path. I think society has expectations, your parents have expectations, but your true fulfillment comes from living life on your terms, set your own goals, make your own rules, and be the person you want to be, not what somebody tells you to be. Like, you know, we push college and all these other things. I want my son to be an astronaut or my daughter to be a doctor or whatever. Like, they're going to have to live their own life. You can't control that, and nor should you. Once they become an adult, that's when you go from being a parent to be a supporting parent in whatever they choose. But I don't think you should be defined by what you think society wants of you.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a perfect example of it. This is our fifth Ten Commandments episode, and they've all been vastly different. And as far as I would categorize these men that I've interviewed through this process, that every single one of them are equally as, you know, great or complete as a man. You know, every one of them are people that I look up to, and they've each told me a list of different things, and they've all approached it differently. And, you know, they've made their own way of it. And that's also, and you know, inspired me in a way. It's, I'm not going to cut and copy Dave's or Burner's or Cobra's right. Ten Commandments list and apply it to my life. You know,
you got to make your own way. What works for you, and some things you'll agree with, some things you're not going to agree with. It's just like parenting, like we talked about before. Just know, yeah, you can read 1,000 fucking books at the library, but until you absorb it, until you're really in it, man, yeah. it's just words at that point.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that we're all different, because I intentionally did not listen to any of those. So I'll go back and rewatch them just to get people's, because we all come from different walks of life. You know, our experiences are somewhat different. So I think that kind of shapes some of that dynamic too.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and everybody answered this question semi-differently, or all the way differently, but where did your list come from? So what I mean by that is, as based off being a father, being a man with yourself, being a husband, you know, being, where did your list come from mentally? You know, someone like me, I don't have kids or anything. I would frame it around myself. How do I be the best man for myself to project on other people? But for Dave, it's different, obviously.
I think if this was something my kids asked me, this is what I would have told them. Because I think everybody, you know, again, it was like, what have I failed at that I could have done better? Or to tell somebody so they don't make the same mistakes I did, and kind of quantify it in a concise, short sentence, and then kind of explain it a little bit.
Gotcha. And if you could pick one or two. Did you list them in importance or any order? Or
no, I just did like a 1 through 10.
Okay. So for me, you know, for others is different. For me, I would say my Hail Mary kicker is communication. To me, I don't think, which nobody has, I wouldn't say agree with me. Nobody's put this at their top yet. So this is just a me thing, but none of the things that I can think of in the Ten Commandments are capable or will even follow through without a foundation of communication, you know, with whoever it may be. So what would you say your, you know, your headliner is?
Man, it's tough to be honest with you. I think for me personally now is more take care of my body and mind, because of just with society getting older, realizing you can't do the same things that you did when you were 20. And trying to be there to see your grandkids or whatever comes about for the future, being present there, not in a wheelchair or some other contraption because I didn't do the things I should have done. So for me, that's probably my number one. A lot of the other ones come from making mistakes. But I've always believed, too, probably my second one, be keep learning and adapting. I don't think I'd be in the position I'm in today had I not read and done the things that people didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
There was always, you know, in our world, you can fix a jet in X amount of time and you could do the same thing, but how do I set myself apart from everybody else? And I've kept learning, kept adapting to get me where I'm at right now. So I think that one's important to me too.
Yeah. Yep. That's interesting. You definitely had you had similarities, but I don't think there were any repeaters there. Yours has been, again, surprisingly very different than everybody else's. And I don't know how, you know, you figured there's a mix between everybody has different experiences and these are the obvious things, but
you know, in my head, I'm sure Corey's was more spiritual in nature. Fred probably said to make sure you asked the waitress at the Waffle House for extra crispy hash browns. I'm just playing, Fred. Mm. But I'm sure they're all different.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think it's how we're brought up and how we do things that play a part in all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it very, very much. You know, yeah. Taking your time and to do your homework and come out with the list.
I had time. I was like, damn, are they
going to
call me?
Yep. And yeah, thanks for putting your stuff out there. It's obviously a great help to me. This whole thing is, I've said it before on these series, but doing this thing is also very selfish for me because I get to break each and every one of you down and, you know.
So you're going to combine all of this stuff that you've learned in the last couple of years. Now you're going to have to write a book. Out of everybody, you're the book writer.
Maybe. I would just have Dave write it out for me. I'll sit on the couch and say my ideas with his neat handwriting.
It'll never get done. If that's the case.
But yeah, like I said, it's in a way been very selfish of me. But I do think that more than a couple people can benefit from this, or at least give a perspective on things. And you know, that's all we want to do. Again, I'm going to reiterate this at the end, but past all the like, share nonsense, it's not nonsense, please do that if you can, but sharing is the big one, not only to get our name out there, that's not what we're aiming to do, but if it can reach somebody who, you know, could use this talk, is the big deal.
It's got to find that right algorithm or whatever is going on that we seem to struggle with sometimes.
Yep. But, yeah. Thank you again so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll reiterate, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff, strip roll and everything. And go check out the Instagram. Yeah.
Somewhere.
Point to it. Yeah. The Instagram. And the Writing Raw Instagram as well. You know, I'm sure enough of you have seen the Writing Raw stuff, but you know, check it all out. We're all on there. We'll play our part. So, yeah. Thanks again, and have a good night, everybody.